rest of us here, I actually have two passages that I'd like to turn to this evening, kind of two text passages. The first one, if you turn to Luke chapter 9, and then Proverbs chapter number 3, Luke chapter 9 and Proverbs chapter number 3. As I mentioned, I'm very much enjoying, and I know sometimes there are things I stumble on as we go through this study, and I encourage you, instead of getting discouraged if you're not figuring out an answer to a blank or struggling with an aspect of this Bible study, I'd encourage you to don't get down about it. Take the time and see it as a blessing of deeper study, digging a little deeper, and then realize if it's just semantics of what word is necessary, let's look in the back of the book and you've got the answers there. But we're hearkening back to what we completed this last week in a study of our relationship with God. And I want to look at a couple passages here, and then we're going to get into the message here in the Word of God about this topic. Luke chapter number 9, verse number 23 says, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." And then Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 tells us how we are to follow him, and that is to trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I want to preach a simple message this evening on walking with God. What is a walk with God? A continued relationship with God. A daily walk, not just a distant memory of occasions of a close relationship with God, but a daily walk with him. Let's pray and ask for his blessing on this message. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity we have as a church to study your word, to study your truths. We thank you that you desire to have a relationship with us. Oh, we're so undeserving to come to you in prayer and for you to hear our prayers. We're so undeserving for you to direct our paths, as is stated here in Proverbs chapter 3. But oh, we need it. And I pray that we'd be a people who would learn to walk with you, learn to love and cherish a close relationship with you in our lives. We ask all of these things in your precious name, I pray, amen. Many Christians, I'd venture to say most Christians, can point to a time in their lives when God was felt very real to them. When they could say, hey, at this point, I had a close relationship with God. They remember maybe the night that they were saved and the closeness and the excitement and the walk with God that they had and the desire to seek after God in their lives in the weeks and months following their salvation. Maybe you remember a revival meeting when God stirred your heart. Maybe God stirred your heart and it broke your heart and to the point of emotions where you're crying out at an altar before God and you're walking with him and you're walking in a close relationship with him for a season. Maybe you remember a season in your life of when prayer was vibrant and when the Bible just seemed to come alive every time you sat down with the Word of God to study it. You were excited about your time with God. You're excited with your time in your prayer closet. You're excited for your time in God's Word. Maybe you remember a spiritual victory that shaped your faith, where you look back and say, oh, those were the good old days in my Christian life. I saw victory. I saw God do some big things. And we look back at occasions like this, but these moments matter. In no way do I want to belittle times like this. There's something precious about a newborn Christian. There's something precious about God working on a believer's heart in revival type meetings. There's something precious about times of excitement and vibrancy about your prayer life and your study of the Bible. God uses them. If we study the scriptures, we see it's never intended that these moments should replace our daily walk and fellowship and relationship with him. Yes, we have spiritual mountaintops where we're seeing victories, where it seems like that relationship with God is easy. We're excited about it. But we're commanded to walk with God, to have a relationship with God, even when it seems like a drudgery, even when we are tired, when we're worn down, when we're weary in well-doing. The Christian life is not meant to be lived off of memories, but off of an ongoing relationship that is real, that is powerful, that isn't based off of our own understanding and our own ideas, but no, where we're living our lives based off of how He is directing each and every step of our path. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16 says, "Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein." You see, that's a theme verse from last year, yes. But it talks about an old-time, old-fashioned walk with God. I appreciate Ezekiel sharing that story about Charles Spurgeon talking about the furnace at the tabernacle there. And I was speaking to a friend of mine this week, and I was just finished reading a book on revivals of days gone by. And something that is a through line of God doing great things in the old time days, we'd say, is Christians, not just preachers, ordinary Christians, the truck drivers and the mechanics and the housewives and the regular folks, really getting a hold of a prayer life and a relationship with God, where they're showing up to church early. Not complaining that the preacher goes too long. They're coming early to pray and to pour out their hearts before the church even starts because they want God to move. I tell you, we oftentimes, and it's a cultural issue, with my generation, worse than some of the generations in front of me, is that my generation desires to have everything that their parents and grandparents had from a lifetime of labor with no effort. I know there's an affordability crisis. It's hard. We're prayerfully, Lord willing, excited to be able to buy a house this year. In my age group, to be married and buying a house at 28 years old, I'd be in the top 2% of American young people. Only 2% of 28-year-olds are married and own their home. With that, though, there is a lifestyle of saying, hey, I see mom and dad are able to go out once a week to go out for dinner. People my age, normal people with normal jobs, can't afford to do that, but many do, and they live outside their means, and it's why they can't afford to take steps like buying homes, etc. Yes, the markets are crazy, but they're getting better. There's a lot of those factors, but in a lot of ways, we have a culture that desires the results and the blessings of a lifetime of labor without the lifetime of labor. We feel entitled. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of people that get up and say, hey, we need revival. We want revival. Yes, we want God to move. Yes, we want God to rescue the perishing and use us as his vessels this year to see souls saved. But that's not going to happen without the labor of a relationship and a walk with God. And Christians, we're not going to be an effective witness. We're not going to rescue the perishing if we're not walking with our Savior. We're not going to do this. We're not going to see these miracles if we're not pouring out our hearts in prayer. Not once, not on occasion, continually. But when a people of God would humble ourselves and realize we need to pour our hearts out before God day in, day out, and walk with Him and seek His face, revival's not impossible. On the topic of God doing miraculous things, God saving souls by the dozens, God's real revival, that there's two camps. One, they make it seem cheap, where we can manufacture it and we can have some sort of program. And you say, Pastor, what's your program to win souls? This, getting a hold of a real relationship with God as Christians. Getting into a study of His Word and on our knees pouring out our hearts with prayer. Getting sin ripped out of our lives. Getting right with God. That's the result of having a relationship with God, is getting right with God. And then in that, moving forward in the work of winning souls and diligently going day in and day out and knocking on doors. There's not there's fancy programs where we can fill the pews, but that's shallow, that's not real. It's cheap. And it doesn't yield lasting results. It doesn't yield souls being saved. It'll yield an emotional experience. But then you have the other side of the same coin that I think keeps folks from revival. There's the compromise for cheap, phony revival, but then there's the cynicism of it can't happen in 2026. Our world is too wicked. You should read the Old Testament sometime. Read Corinthians. If a church can be planted and thrive in Corinth in the days of Paul, a church can see God do great things in Pocatello in 2026. Sir, some are seeking a cheap and false revival, and some have given up on it entirely and surrendered to the fact that, and really what it boils down to is not being willing to do what it takes to see God move. And I'd venture to say that all of us here tonight would prayerfully and earnestly, sincerely desire, say, I sincerely desire God to move in my life, in my family's life, in our ministry, in saving souls. But it starts with Christians, first of all, getting in the Word of God. We covered that last week, and living it. But if we're going to do that, then we're going to have a walk with God. We're going to have a true relationship with God, and I fear that most Christians will talk about that. We'll use the same vernacular and speak of a relationship with God, but have never really experienced a perpetuating relationship with God. Notice the wording here back in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Notice the wording. It says, walk. It doesn't mean to visit these ways or admire or remember, but walk in these ways. Ways. Walk therein. That's a continued process. We're several of the men and some of the young men of our church, we've got an endeavor that I think is exciting and good for our men of our church to do something difficult and to strive to achieve something. And that is to climb a mountain this summer. We're working out, we're preparing, we're getting ready, and we're moving towards this goal of summiting the South Teton in August. In that, you don't get the summit without a whole lot of struggle, without putting one foot in front of the other. And one of the telling aspects of the South Teton, and it's the same exact boulder field you have to navigate through to get to the Middle Teton, is a boulder field that just seems to go on and go on and go on. And the more I study this and talk to folks who have climbed the South Teton, the more they say it just keeps going. And everything inside of you, as you're going and you don't see the end of the boulder, everything inside of you wants to quit. Say, I'm done. I don't want to step over another rock. I don't want to stumble over another boulder. I want to quit. I want to stop. I want to turn back. I tell you, you'll never reach the summit if you stop in the boulder field. Never. And a lot of the Christian life is saying, hey, every day, even when I don't feel like moving forward for the Lord, even when I don't feel like cracking open my Bible and studying, and I don't have an earnest desire this morning to dive deep, I don't have a desire to walk. No, it is stepping and walking in therein. It's a continued progress, a continued moving forward. And I fear that many Christians who start on this walk, who maybe have had moments of a relationship with God or periods of time with a close walk with God, fail and quit, or as the Bible word is, to faint before the blessings. You cannot walk with somebody yesterday and still be walking with them today unless you're taking new steps. The idea of walking is progress. So that if there is a lack of fruit in a Christian, you say, Pastor, are you talking about somebody who's newly saved? Well, sometimes newborn babes of a church have been saved for 30 years. Sometimes we've gone backwards and backslidden more than steps we've moved forward because we're not walking with God. God doesn't want just to be a chapter of your past. He wants to be the companion and the director of your present path. First of all, and I'll move through this quickly, hopefully I don't have a lot of voice this evening. First, we see the call to a daily walk. A daily walk. Not a Sunday walk, not a Thursday night walk. A daily walk. Jesus made it very clear that following him was not just a one-time decision, but a daily need for commitment. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow cross daily and follow me." That word daily matters. Jesus did not say, take up your cross once and then we're good. Jesus did not say, take up your cross when your life is going easy, or take up your cross when you're feeling quite spiritual. He said, take up your cross daily and follow me. He says, it's time to take up this cross and walk with God, and to walk in this close presence and relationship with God on a daily basis. Every single day. You say, Pastor, there's days I don't feel like it. Yes, those are the most important days, to put forward the effort to say, I am going to walk with God today. Even though things aren't going my way, we have a lot of Christians that, as the song says, are Sunday go-to-meeting Christians. We'll go to church and we'll shout. We'll come to church and we'll sing. And we'll praise the Lord. We'll say amen. We'll come to the altar. And then Monday morning, we go out and we live our lives the way we want to live our lives, outside of the presence of God. I'll tell you, we need Christians that don't just come into the church house and live for God and walk with him when it's easy, when we're feeling spiritual, when the environment around us is right. We need Christians, if we're going to see God's blessings, it's going to come in the times we don't feel like it. It's going to come in the times when we don't understand why God is directing us in a certain way. I preached to the young people this week on Wednesday, yesterday afternoon. I came to the pulpit. I had a whole different message. I preached to them about the little things. Oftentimes we've decided, hey, I'm going to do right in all these big things that people can see. And it's the little things that matter. It's the days that nobody sees. The days that we're discouraged. The days that we don't feel like it. The days where the flesh seems to be strong. Those are the days we must surrender, take up our cross, and walk with Jesus. Salvation is a moment. Salvation happens once. Discipleship is a life. Discipleship is a way of life. There are many people who can tell you the day that they were saved, but can't tell you the last day they truly walked with God. Let that sink in. Most Christians, we can gather together and say, hey, let me tell you, I can give you details. I can tell you about what the sunset looked like, or the sunrise, the morning after, the day I got saved. But I can't tell you the last day where I truly walked with God. What a sad state of Christianity. You say, oh yeah, I preach about those Christians out there. I'm not preaching to those Christians out there. I'm preaching to the Christians in this room. I think one of the issues that we have is we don't often take the preaching of the Word of God personally. We act like mirrors. We're trying to reflect it out. Yeah, yes, the world is wicked. But I'm preaching to ones in this room that God's called me to be the under-shepherd to. I'm preaching to me. Walk with God and a close relationship with him each and every single day. Yesterday's obedience does not replace today's surrender. You say, Pastor, you're going to tell me that I overuse this type of illustration, but it's a struggle that I am on, and that is being healthy, not eating as cheating on my diet, and going to the gym. So there's a temptation when you've done really good to use it as an excuse to be really bad. So if I've been real good and I've eaten my salads all week, and on the weekend, man, we're at a restaurant, they got a good-looking cheesecake. I'll have three. No. You say, Saturday morning, I had to fight every urge. I brought everybody donuts for soul winning Saturday. Yesterday's obedience and walking with God does not replace today's surrender. Today's surrender doesn't replace tomorrow's walk with God. Every single day, we have a call to a daily walk. God taught this lesson to Israel in the wilderness when he provided manna from heaven. They were commanded to gather it daily. You know what that meant? They couldn't store it up. Now, I moved here, and in some ways, what was it, 2017, I think, graduated from high school and moved here. So next year will be 10 years I've lived in Idaho. I moved to Driggs first, helped in that church up there. So one of the things about Idaho is people want to be a self-made man. We want to be self-sufficient. Nowadays, you want to be off the grid. So if everything shuts down, can you survive? Do you have backup power and backup water and food storage and plenty of bullets for your guns so that you're set, you're self-sufficient? And I'll tell you, I'm almost there in that regards. But we don't get to just stock up. Say, hey, I was on church Sunday and I stocked up on my spirituality and that's going to get me through the week. We're not self-sufficient spiritually. And here in the desert, he says, hey, you can only take the manna that you need for today because I want you Israelites, God says, I want you people of God to need me again tomorrow. Right? Right, Christians? You see where I'm going? God says, hey, get in my word. Get the bread of life, which is the word of God. But then be here tomorrow because you need me then too. We have a call to a daily walk. They tried to save this manna for the next day. It would rot. It wouldn't last. Yesterday's provision could not sustain that next day's life. And I'll tell you, yesterday's walk with God isn't going to sustain your walk with your Christian life today. You need a daily surrender, a daily taking up of the cross, a daily walk in the presence of God. You can't live today on yesterday's Bible reading. You can try, but that'll be in confliction with our second passage we read there in Proverbs chapter number 3. You'd be leaning on your own understanding. You wouldn't be following the Lord. You can't grow today based on last year's prayers. You're not going to stay close to God today based off of past obedience. Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day, the leftovers from yesterday's prayer closet. Give us this day, the leftovers from my Bible study last week. No, give us today, this day, our daily bread. God's intentionally designed a dependence of his children on him daily. We have a call to a daily walk. We also have the danger of living on spiritual memories. One of the greatest dangers in the Christian life is allowing memories to become substitutes for relationship. And that's where I titled this message, A Daily Walk, Not a Distant Memory. People begin to speak about God in the past tense. I used to read my Bible faithfully, Pastor. I used to, you know how many people knocking on doors that clearly are living a life of filth and sin that tell me, yes, I grew up in a Baptist church. My mom was a Sunday school teacher. I used to go to church every Sunday, and look where they are. You say, oh, that's not me. How many of us say, hey, Pastor, I used to read my Bible faithfully. Man, I used to love to study the Word of God. I used to be fascinated with it. It used to excite me. I remember when prayer felt powerful. I remember when it was exciting to develop and add to my prayer list and to find more folks to meet them and to see their needs and to pray for them and to see prayers answered. It used to be exciting. And there was a time when God was close and when I walked with him day in and day out. But past faithfulness, yes, it's a blessing, but it's not a substitute and a replacement for present fellowship. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 5 warns about people having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. This happens when religion remains, but relationship fades. When we're walking, and I touched on this idea over the last week in one of my messages. We're walking in the memories of the past. We're walking in the shadow. I preached to young people about walking in the spiritual shadow of their parents. And they should praise God for the steps in the spiritual life and the spiritual influence and direction that their parents have on their lives, even and especially when you don't like it. But that can't be your spiritual life. And we can't live in the shadows of, hey, God is blessed, God did this, I had this walk with God, and man, that was a great time with the Lord. What about today? We see this clearly in the church of Ephesus, a great church. When we read the book of Ephesians, we know clearly, and we can read about Paul, and we can read the letter of Paul to the then pastor of the church of Ephesus, and then later on here in Revelation chapter 2, shortly after Paul was beheaded and the churches continue, Revelation chapter number 2, Jesus praises them for their doctrine, their labor, and their endurance. He says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee." Why? Because they weren't showing up? No. Their doctrine was still straight. Their work ethic was still there. Their labor for Christ was still there. Their endurance, their faithfulness, their stick to it. They're sticking it out. "Nevertheless," he says, "I have somewhat against thee." Why? "Because thou hast left thy first love." They were still busy about the things of God, but they weren't close with him. They might have been walking correct in doctrine, but they weren't walking in closeness with their Savior. And I can tell you, we can believe all the right things, and we can have all the right standards, and we can have all that. You can check all the right boxes of this is, I'm an independent fundamental Baptist, and this is sure, but without a relationship with God, all of that isn't going anywhere for Jesus. It's just vain religion. It's just as much religion as down the street of the Catholic Church. Except, praise God, we're saved. But you're not doing anything real for God. If you're checking all the boxes, say, oh, I dress in a way that pleases God, and I don't listen to bad music, pastor, and I don't drink, and I don't do drugs, and I'm not living in idolatry. I'm doing right. I come to church on Sunday. Hey, we're here on a Thursday night. I memorize scriptures, young people. I do this. I do that. I say my verse on Sunday mornings. Great. But how's your walk with God? How is your daily relationship with the Lord? Spiritual drift rarely happens suddenly. I preached about this several months ago. It happens quietly, slowly. One neglected prayer time, one skip time in the Word, one compromise at a time, one excuse. Like I said, reflecting back to a message I preached yesterday to the young people, a message I might develop. Like I said, it wasn't on paper. The message I planned on preaching is still on the pulpit in there. Preach a message about the little things. I titled it, because we were going through Psalm 119, we got to Psalm 119:89, where it says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." And I said, all right, it is settled in heaven, these truths are, but are they settled in your life? And many of us who know these truths, we memorize them, but we fail to live them. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 warns us, says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." You don't wake up one morning far from God, you drift there. You drift there. And the signs are obvious. And it starts with a lack of seriousness about your walk with God. Your time in the Bible in the mornings, your prayer life, your praying throughout, your walking with God and your relationship with God throughout the day, praying without ceasing. See, that's just kind of a little thing. That's when a Christian is super serious. That's when you have a relationship and a walk with God and a prayer life that takes you throughout your day, day in and day out with daily surrender. That's not for super serious Christians. That ought to be every single one of us. That's for Christians who actually desire to follow God, actually desires God's blessings on their life. You say, pastor, you've seen Christians who are Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night Christians slip really far. Yes. Actually, many times in the last about 6 years that I've been in the ministry, many times, a surprising amount of times. Things that I'd only heard and been told. I look at one of my pastors growing up, Pastor Vogelin here, and my dad, and something they always say is, at times I wish I was wrong. I wish I was wrong. When you could look at somebody's life and say, if they don't get right with God, those little steps are going to lead to a big destruction. And now, over the last several years, I know what they meant. You know you're not wrong because it's the Bible. But you wish you were because you know the ends of those ways. Little drifting leads to drifting into this sin and that sin. When we're walking with God, it's easy to see victory over temptation. When we're walking in a close relationship with God and we're praying, interceding with Him throughout the day, devil's attacks come. He's already right here. We're already walking with Him. But when we left the Word of God in our prayer life back several months ago or years ago or days ago, the devil's got you. There's a danger of living on spiritual memories. There's a daily call to walk with God, and I'm going to continue here quickly. I might skip one of these points. Look at what a daily walk of God with God looks like. Practically, what does this look like? Daily walk with God is not mystical. It's not, we don't want to make it seem like something it's not. It's not really complicated. Scripture explains it clearly. You want God to direct your paths? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. First step is take your hands off of the control of your entire heart. I like taking a focus on every word of God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. I'd say all of us in this room have at least trusted the Lord with most of our heart. Like I mentioned, it's the big things. Sure, you can have this, you can have my tithe, and you can have, all right. We've trusted Him with eternity. But it says, all thine heart. Just take your hands off. My life is not Elijah's. When it is, I will fail. Trust in the Lord with all my heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Realize this is a big dose of humility. We don't know the answers. We don't know the right steps to take. We might think we've got it all figured out. Well, if this happens, and this is what I want to do, and this is my plan, this is my five. People talk about it, you know, go to college, and they say, well, what's your five-year plan? Serve Jesus. Follow Him. Five-year plan. And it's good to make plans. I don't want to make small making plans and schedules. But ultimately, we've got to realize, I don't have it all figured out. Say, Pastor, I've been saved for 10, 20 years. We don't have it all figured out, Christian. Lean not under thine own understanding. Humble ourselves. In all thy ways. So we talk about all our heart, all of our understanding, leaning not on our own understanding. Now all of our ways, our actions. Acknowledge Him. Christian, could you say that all of your actions acknowledge Him? All of your ways acknowledge Christ? I think wrongly sometimes I've heard a preacher say, you need to pray about what color socks to wear in the morning. No. It's a little, I think a lot of ways that's just to get people's attention, and I don't like that. What I'll tell you is, all of your ways should acknowledge Christ. So what does that look like? Well, people ought to see Reggie's life, whether he's in the church house or down at Jersey Mike's making sandwiches, and say his ways acknowledge Christ. Whether we're with mom and dad, young people, in the home on family devotion time and you know all the right words to say, or you're goofing off with your friends that you know would accept and be okay with the wrong type of actions, do your ways acknowledge Christ? When we're in the church house, no matter if we're in the church house, folks, or if we're at home by ourselves scrolling the television, are our ways acknowledging Christ? Whether we're talking to somebody face-to-face or behind their back, or do our ways acknowledge Christ? Or have we allowed bitterness and gossip to slip in? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lead not into thine own understanding, which means to humble yourselves and submit yourself unto his understanding. And in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So you want to get to the point where he is imperatively directing your paths? Well, he wants all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your ways, all of your actions. Sounds like complete surrender. There's no part of my life that is outside of all of my actions, all of my thoughts, and all of my heart. Walking with God begins with a daily trust. Trust is not something you exercise once at salvation and never again. It's renewed every time you face a decision, a fear or unknown, and you decide whether or not you're going to trust your own understanding, your own ideas, or you're going to trust Jesus. Maybe it's a bill that comes or a difficulty, and you don't know which way to turn, and your mind is spinning, you're swirling, you're trying to figure out what decision to make. Maybe it's with your children. You say, what in the world am I supposed to do? I think I'm going to do this. If you didn't talk to Jesus and seek his ways, you're not walking with God. And a lot of Christians make stupid decisions and reap the consequences. It's not necessarily that you're living a life of sin, but you're living a life without wisdom. And if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of who? Our own understanding? Some how-to book? No, let him ask of God, who giveth to men, all men liberally and abradeth not. Then comes daily direction. There's trust and daily direction. The Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. It's not just the big decisions. In all your ways. Unless you've preached, it's hard to describe preaching. You can get up here and read notes, and oftentimes I hit like half of what I have written on a piece of paper. But a lot of preaching is prayerfully proclaiming. It's the best way I can say it is, in a pulpit, when done right, praying and pouring your heart out in prayer before you ever come to a pulpit, and then as you're preaching, seeking the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom and to give you, and sometimes the Holy Spirit directs you, hey, go this way. And to pour your heart out as you're praying and following his direction with exactly what to say. And I'd say when I learned that about the spiritual aspect of preaching, it's not performative, it's not a speech, it's not public speaking, it's preaching, prayerful proclaiming of truth. You want to rescue the perishing? It's not about a polished speech. It's not about a memorized script. It's not about and we're going to memorize. We're going to hear in a couple weeks, give you a sneak peek starting Sunday, February 8th. We're going to switch up what verses we're memorizing on Sunday mornings and Sunday school. We're going to memorize the Romans Road. We're going to memorize the verses, the Word of God. But when you're sharing the gospel with somebody, it's the closest thing to preaching. It's proclaiming. It is preaching, actually. Or even in conversation, you're learning to seek direction and seek the Holy Spirit to lead as you choose your words. Which means it's going to lead to Christians who are slow to speak. One of the best lessons over the last over a decade, of working alongside my dad as a pastor and a church planner and learning from him, there were occasions at least once a week where I'd sit in his office and he'd talk over the ins and outs of ministry. One of the best lessons he ever told me is said, when somebody comes to you for counsel. Somebody comes to you with conflict, especially. Somebody comes to you to talk. Listen. Be slow to speak. And pray as you listen for God to give you direction on what to speak. And many times we always have the answer of what our understanding is and what we want to do and what we want to say. And I wonder if we talk. I read the letter from Pastor Whitaker, my dad, about he's praying, and I am praying for your coworkers, praying for neighbors, praying for family members. If we changed the way we interacted with them by prayerfully walking in a relationship with God and prayerfully seeking Him in our conversations to direct and guide and direct those conversations to say exactly what He would have us to say, we might not know exactly how it needs to be explained for that person. I remember Brother Terry coming to church for months and struggling with understanding salvation. But God knew that another Catholic, former Catholic from Belize, Pastor Blanco, needed to come and preach it in just a different way. To explain it in that way. To get him looking in the right direction and understanding his need for salvation. Then to come a couple of days later to an office and say, I need to get saved. I'm ready. And it's not about being, Pastor Blanco doesn't have a Bible college education. He's seeking, in the pulpit, seeking God to lead and direct him. And I'd say outside of the pulpit, say, I don't get up and preach. You ought to live your lives that way. Your life ought to be a ministry. How does your life become a ministry? Your life becomes a ministry when you walk with God daily. Walk also requires agreement. Two people cannot walk together unless they agree in the direction. You ever try to walk with somebody that doesn't walk in a straight line? And you're walking here, and you haven't decided exactly which direction you're walking, and they think you're turning, and you think you're going straight, and you keep running into each other, and it just doesn't work out all that well. You have to be in an agreement and a direction to walk one with another. Amos chapter 3, verse 3 asks, can two walk together except they be agreed? If we want to walk with God, we must be willing to let Him lead. We don't get to say, I'm going to walk with God and take Him where I want to go. Even when His path differs from our preferences, He must be the one who directs our paths. Walking with God involves a daily dependence. Jesus said in John chapter 15, He said, abide in me, for without me ye can do nothing. That's another absolute. Without me ye can do nothing. He's saying, Pastor, I can do a whole lot without Jesus. No, you can do nothing. Nothing. I'm doing okay. I think I'm just going to coast along without this close walk with God you're talking about. I think I'll be all right without this relationship with God. I've had times of blessings and revival. Without me, ye can do nothing. Abide in me. Abiding is not just checking in with God. Our devotion time in the morning ought not be just, hey, checking with God. It should be a starting point, a surrender point of saying, I'm surrendering to abide, which means to continue within, to abide therein with Jesus, to walk with Him, to have that relationship sustained throughout every single day. It is remaining with Him. Christianity is not about visiting God occasionally. It's about living in continual dependence on Him. And then lastly, and I'm done, we have practices that sustain a daily walk and obstacles to it. Daily walk with God doesn't happen by accident. It's sustained through some spiritual disciplines. First is a daily time in the Word of God. You're not going to walk if you don't take the first step. I can promise you, you're not walking in the presence of God. You don't have a close relationship with God if you're not daily starting in His Word. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Word of God cleanses, it guides, strengthens our faith. Psalm 119, 105 speaks about it being a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This study, as I've been preaching the chapter of Psalm 119 to the children, to the young people in Academy Chapel, man, it's just every single circumstance brings you back to the Word of God. Hey, if people are persecuting you, Word of God. If I'm discouraged, the Word of God. If there's no way forward, the Word of God. It always comes back to the Word of God. Consistency matters more than quantity. I'd prefer a church of Christians who read a few verses and studied them and really learned them and grasped something from them consistently on a daily basis than a Christian who once every couple months read chapters on end. First, practices that sustain a daily walk in a relationship with God is a time in the Word of God. Secondly, is a daily time of prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Prayer is not only something we do, it's how we walk. Our prayer closet in the morning and our devotional time every single day, it should be where we nail our flesh to the cross and we take up our cross and follow Christ. It should be a starting point of walking in prayer throughout the day. Ongoing communication with God throughout our days. Third, we see a daily obedience. Practices to sustain a daily walk is a daily time in the Word, a daily time of prayer, and a daily obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, simple, keep my commandments. Obedience doesn't earn God's love. It demonstrates our love for Him. But what about the obstacles? What obstacles do we see? Several things commonly disrupt our walk for God. First one, I think one of the greatest excuses is busyness. Busyness. Jesus told Martha, "Thou art careful and troubled about many things." See, Martha was criticizing her sister Mary, who was sitting at Jesus' feet, learning and listening to Jesus and dwelling literally in the presence of Jesus right there. And Martha's running around and said, there's so much to do about this house. There's so much to work on. And Jesus told Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Busyness crowds out an intimate relationship with God. Be careful not to be busy about things. It might not be bad. I'm not talking about being busy about sin. But if we make ourselves busy with good things that keep us from a walk with God, we've missed the whole point. Self-reliance is another. I mentioned this at the beginning of the message. Proverbs warns us not to lean on our understanding. When we begin trusting ourselves, we cease to trust God, and our fellowship with Him and relationship with Him ceases. We can't get to the point ever in our Christian life where we perceive in any way that we've made it, that we've arrived, that we can handle it on our own. We need to humble ourselves and realize our utter dependence daily on our Savior. Self-reliance is so, so dangerous, rooted in pride of ourselves. Third thing I want to mention is an obstacle to our daily walk is unconfessed sin. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 2 says, sin separates us from fellowship with God, not from a relationship, but from a closeness. He's still our Savior. But if we have sin that we haven't gotten right with God, we're not going to have a close relationship with Him. Say, how do I sustain a daily walk with God? Well, daily get into the Word of God consistently. Every single day, get into the Word of God. Study and learn and apply it to our lives. Daily get out on our knees and pray earnestly. And get up and don't cease. Continue a life of prayer. Continue that prayer with Him throughout the day in obedience to Him. But you know, to stop a Christian's walk with God dead in its tracks is a busyness about everything else. or a self-reliance that we've got it figured out, or sin we've refused to get right. So if you're looking at your life, you say, man, I want to have a daily walk with God. I want to have a close relationship with God on a daily basis, consistently. I want to see this kind of a life. I want to have this closeness and personalness with Christ. I want to see these blessings. Well, get into His Word. Get on your knees in prayer. Get up and walk forward in prayer and obedience with Him. But make sure and clear out the busyness that might keep you from those things. Make sure to humble ourselves and confess any self-reliance we might have. And beg God to root out any sin that we might have in our lives. We must get victory over sin in order to walk with God. Good news is God doesn't ask us to start over. He asks us to return to Him. God told the church in Ephesus to remember, to repent, and to return. Lamentations chapter 3 reminds us that God's mercies are new every single morning. Grace is not exhausted, and our fellowship with God can be restored today. Our relationship and our walk with God can be restored tonight. It ought to be. But I beg you, Christians, don't be like the majority of saved individuals who look at that and say, hey, you know, you're really nice, but I'm not willing to do what it takes to have a relationship with God. I'm not willing to do what it takes to have a close, vibrant, and on fire walk with God every single day. I'm not willing to do what it takes to be a studier of the Word of God, to be a prayer warrior, to walk in a life of prayer, to walk in a life of obedience to God. Maybe we're not willing to give up on the busyness of life. You like all of these other distractions. Maybe we like sin, we're not willing to give up. Would we get that right? Christians, I'm imploring you tonight. Stop living off of distant memories of times and occasions where we were on fire for God, when we were walking with God, when we had a close relationship with God. No, every single day we ought to be walking with God. Every single day we ought to have that close relationship with God. And that can be restored and ought to be restored tonight. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you, once again, as we started this message, we're thanking you that you desire to have a relationship with us. God, I pray that we would have a broken and a contrite heart tonight as saved people here this evening. A heart that says, whatever it takes, I must have a walk with you. I must have a close relationship with my Savior. I need it. I need Him to move. I need to have revival in my life. But God, it's not going to happen without a walk with you. God, I pray that you'd break our hearts, that we come forward and pour our hearts out at an altar that says, whatever it takes, I'm going to make those steps. Jesus, I pray that you deal in our hearts. In your name I pray. Amen.